such sights to show you.
So today, I had pollo asado from Chipotle. And a lot of coffee and a lot of their hot sauce. You know, there's like the salsa roja they have there. Yeah. They have the pico and they got the real, you know, spicy one. I got the middle one. So I'm like, okay, it was perfect, but I had too much.
So it was a rough day for you.
The whole day was fine. But so I got in the car. So I got in the car and I kind of like, I tried to go, you know, to do a fat number two before I left the office. It wasn't working. Nothing was happening. So it was okay. I was like, whatever, I'll do it, you know, later on. And then I get in my car and I'm good.
Also, this was the stop in question that you texted me about?
Yes. No. Oh my God. So yeah, I was like, okay, like this is going to be like, whatever, I can record, you know, like I'm feeling okay. But I stupidly, instead of sipping on my water, I sipped on my coffee.
Oh, no.
So within 10 minutes, I was like, oh, shit, I'll stop at my home before I go to Alex. I'm like, good. I can drop off my laptop and blah, blah, blah. I'm always making these plans. Uh-huh. And then, like, 5 minutes, I'm like, boy, I'm going to definitely do it before recording. And, like, reasoning with myself. And then finally, like, at the 20-minute mark, I'm like, this is impossible. This is, like, my leg's shaking. I'm, like, hovering above the seat. Oh, no. And I'm, like, squirming while driving. And there's no traffic, so I'm golden.
Oh,
but there's still a lot of cars, and we're all going really fucking fast. Like, fast.
Oh, fast?
Going fast, and there's a lot of us. And I'm like, fuck. I'm maneuvering maps now,
uh-huh.
And I'm like, I can't do it. I can't. I need to stop somewhere. I just put one of my most recent search was a Target near me.
Oh, no.
And it said 18 minutes. I'm like, fuck. Just go off the next ramp and then you'll figure it out. I'm like, okay, go. So I go off I'm like zooming through cars. Like I've never been so precise, but also I'm not sitting down all the way. So it's a little weird. And like, I narrowly get the fucking exit. And I see a sign for Ralph's. And I'm like, cool. The sign looks a little weird, though. So I was like, okay, maybe it's an old Ralph's. And it was a Ralph's gas station that wasn't open and had nothing but a bunch of Mexicans in front fixing their cars. So I didn't belong there. And I think I was blocking an exit because then a truck tried to move and they were like, dude, get the... Like, and I was in my car, like, Target near me and, like, just nothing. And I was like, oh, wait.
Oh, bro.
Grocery store near me. And I was like, an actual Ralph's. Cool. Mile away, just a mile. So I was like, 4 minutes. I can do 4 minutes. And fuck it. I kept getting those red lights and those unprotected left turns.
I hate unprotected left turns. LA, go fuck yourself.
It's so bad. And then I make it to the Ralph's and it's the most ghetto fucking... Like, on the outside, I can tell. I'm like, this is not going to be a good bathroom.
Dude, when you're about to shit yourself, doesn't matter.
I know. I got closer. I'm like, park as close as you can. And in the corner of my eye, I saw Kohl's. Like, oh, fuck yes. Kohl's always has a great restroom. This is going to be perfect.
Oh, my God.
It was fantastic. I ran right, parked right in front of the fucking Kohl's. I got the closest I've ever gotten in my entire life.
The Kohl's gods were looking out for you. They're like, this poor, unfortunate soul.
Oh, my God. They were. And when you step out, and I'm like, I'm standing up now. Fuck. I really need to go.
Yeah, because gravity is doing its job, so you're just like, ah, shit.
Yeah, I'm like, make sure you remember your keys. Don't leave your keys. You have a freaking, you know, mine just has to have it near me. Keyless entry.
I understand. I understand.
I remember the first thing, there was a worker right there, and he could see it in my fucking face. I'm like, he's like, oh, how can I help you, sir? I'm like, do you have a bathroom? Like, where's your bathroom? He's like... Around the upstairs, left, I'm like, oh, cool. And I go towards, like, the escalator. It's, of course, on the other fucking side of the store. So yeah. I'm just racing through this Kohl's.
You're, like, waddling.
But not fast enough, yeah. So I find it. It's perfect. I go in, and I just... It was, like, the most... In my adult life, I've never shit this much in one go. One solid go, but to the point where afterwards I knew there was still stuff left, so I was like,
"Oh God,
it's an effort to do it." So I'm gonna write these discussion questions. to put some in there. I'm like, I while I'm figuring this out, I can figure this out. I guess I was in there so long that one of the workers, is anybody in there? And I wanted to quote this fucking movie and be like, the damn enchiladas.
The damn enchiladas.
Oh, and then of course somebody else like comes in right after me and they can't shit. I could hear their they sound like Prince. Like, oh, it was great, but
oh fuck!
I think
I can't breathe, dude. Oh my god!
I finally did it though, and he did it around the same time, so we like finished together. It was fucking perfect.
We finished
at the same time.
Were you looking in each other's eyes?
No, we can't see each other, but I think the feet says it all.
You guys, like, touched feet underneath the...
I think you only had one because the other one was elevated trying to angle, so we can get one just out. No, I'm just like a fucking, like a dam that broke. It's just, it's horrible.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
Oh, thank you for that.
So these discussion questions are motivated by Chipotle's new Pollo Asada.
While you were fighting for your life, yeah. I was like half awake laying on my bed because I came home and I was so fucking tired. I have cramps like a motherfucker right now.
No.
And so I was like, I'm getting McDonald's. I don't give a fuck. I want fries. I want fries, god damn it.
I love that.
Oh, when you have cramps and you want fries?
No, when you tell yourself, fuck it, I'm getting McDonald's.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm getting fries. And then I came home and I was like, now that I've eaten the fries, I feel like shit.
Yeah.
And so I was laying on my bed and I was just like, I shouldn't have laid down. I should not have done this.
Oh, you have a couch. You have a perfectly good couch.
See that pile of laundry on my couch?
Leg rest, it's good.
But I was like, oh man, I need to get up. I can't do this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, while I'm suffering, where I'm like, oh yeah, the questions.
You're like, can you write the questions? You're fighting for your life, shitting your brains out. And I was just like, no, I won't. I don't think I will.
Meanwhile, I'm like, okay, question time, let's fucking go.
I'm like, wake up. The guy from the other stall is just like, you can't do it.
I was telling that to him. I'm like, I'm setting an example here.
I'm setting an example.
You can do it, buddy. I'm telling you. It's going to be great. And
you both did.
Mm-hmm. Should have just fist bump across the thing. That would have been perfect.
Probably not. Well.
Speaking of shit.
speaking of shit, let's go ahead and get started, shall we?
Oh, yeah. And keep in mind, listeners, this is, I'm actually a little high today because I literally had to calm my ass down on my drive here. So I wouldn't think about having to shit again. So there we go.
Great. Cool.
Ooh, baby.
Those damn enchiladas. Fucking dumb as shit.
Ooh, let's do it.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes. This might be our longest intro ever, because I can't cut any of that out.
No, I agree. I was going to say, that's the longest prologue you've ever had for one of these episodes. But it's a short episode, so fuck it. Let's go.
Oh my gosh, dude. What is wrong with you? Today, we are covering... Well, first off, happy Friday the 13th.
That's right!
Everyone.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday the 13th. Yay!
When this episode comes out, it will be Wednesday the 11th. I can do math.
Yeah, but, you know, you guys should listen to it, you know, before that and also on Friday the 13th. Get those numbers up, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. For this piece of shit movie, we're covering Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes there's an artistry to shit, and then there's this franchise, which really toes the line.
Yeah. This is the first time that we've recorded just us in a minute, and I think for the foreseeable future...
That's true.
It's just us. Yay. If you guys are here for the guests, sorry to disappoint.
But if the guest brought you in and you're a new listener, you know what? It's generally what it's like.
It's just Anthony complaining about his commute.
But this time with bowel movements. So
this time he almost shit himself, which is a new
so bad.
Listen, I know that feeling that you are describing, and especially when you're driving, and it's worse when you're in traffic, because that's it. Like, if at least you guys, there was movement.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know?
A lot of movement, yeah.
A lot of movement. But, yeah.
But I just love that point where I saw the Target, my house, and then your apartment, and I was like, everything's at least half an hour. I'm fine.
I'm not making it that long. I'm going, yeah.
And then my stomach was like...
Oh, I hate that when your stomach is just, like, cramping up.
Once
yeah.
it knew it was half an hour, it's like, oh, now we're gonna push, buddy. Let's go.
It's like it knows.
Oh, let's look at again, back to shit. IMDb, what do they got?
Yeah, IMDb tells us about Friday the 13th, part 5. Still haunted by his past, Tommy Jarvis, who, as a child, killed Jason Voorhees, is sent to a secluded halfway house in the countryside, where the killing of a young man triggers a brutal series of murders in the area.
Okay. You know, I guess that's pretty competent. I don't know. Could be worse.
This is a lot of... How many commas are in this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Fucking A. All right.
There's 5 commas.
I was wrong. This is still dumb.
I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 commas.
Somebody gets paid for this shit. That's
yeah,
interesting.
And
okay.
It's not us.
Nope.
The screenplay, it was by Martin Kratosser, David Cohen, and Danny Steinman. I don't... What? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was directed by Danny Steinman. Who?
Oh, Danny Steinman. Oh, we're going to talk a lot about him. He's a weirdo.
He's a fucking weirdo. What?
Oh, I love it. And if I get a chance to talk about weirdos, we're going to go through the whole goddamn
love
weirdo
that
journey.
For us. I don't know a single person who's starring, who is in this movie.
Well,
like, I didn't recognize a single actor.
No. And evidently there's at least 5 of them that have multiple credits. That's weird.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Starring John Shepard. Is it Shepard? Or is it...
Yeah, I think Shepard.
Because you spelt it Stepherd.
Oh, yeah, it's Shepard. No, wait, is it Stepherd? Shepard? That's in here somewhere. No, I just copied and pasted it.
It's Stepherd?
I guess it is. Okay.
Okay, John Stepherd. Wow. Melanie Kinnaman. Okay. Shavar Ross, Richard Young, and Marco St. John.
All right.
Got a St. John.
We got a St. John here. That's a movie star name, right?
It is. Box office, it was budgeted at $2.2 million. It released on March 22nd, 1985.
March,
And it grossed $22 million.
Still making a buck. Where
I mean,
go?
Technically, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
20 times its budget? Or 10 times its budget?
10 times its
ten
budget.
10 times its budget, not bad. Well... I mean, to follow up here, it's been a little while since we've done a Friday the 13th episode. I would say, what, a year and a half? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Damn. Okay, well, we're back, everybody. Again, we got the shit story. So let's come back. Let's come back to this franchise. Now, turns out, Friday the 13th Part 4...
We're full of shit.
The final chapter.
You're full of shit, but, like, we are both in particular full of it.
Why?
The last Friday the 13th was August 13th last year.
Oh.
So it's been
not even a year. Not even a year. Okay.
We just... Time... Life comes at you pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. A lot has changed since then. That's for sure. But we're still here for your listeners. We're here. But yeah. Okay. So I guess less than a year ago for us, but also probably less than a year ago for this franchise. The final chapter... supposed final chapter of this whole franchise. It was too good for Paramount. It was, like, way too good for them. Fans loved it. It made a ton of money. And it actually helped solidify Jason Voorhees in his second hockey mask outing as a true horror icon.
Hell yeah.
That's right. But it was mostly the money part that Paramount was pretty excited about.
They didn't give a shit about horror iconography. They want to see those numbers, baby.
They're like, whoa. So the mask ones did good. Keep the mask on.
Keep the mask on.
Yeah, don't switch it up. So... however, the last movie, again, as we talked about, it was called The Final Chapter. And this sort of put the series Shepherd, Frank Mancuso Jr., who we've talked about a bunch here, in a bind. Still, he took it as an opportunity to kill two birds with one stone as the Friday the 13th series, I can't say it, was getting a bit of a reputation among those in the industry. So, now, of course, despite soaring box office numbers... Folks in the industry didn't want to be associated with the property at all. It was felt to be an embarrassment to Paramount, actually, and that the criticism was that every movie was essentially the same movie, which a little fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, a little fair, I would say. Definitely.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But then if you swing too far in the other direction, you have the Halloween franchise.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, no, we really need continuity. They don't care. They don't care. It's great.
How many this baby can hold so many retcons.
Yeah. That's good. I like the meme, isn't it? So, Mancuso had about 32 million domestic reasons to keep going, but also switch things up to keep the franchise relatively fresh. And somewhere along the way, a decision was made not to use Jason Voorhees. Technically not use him, but they pretty much use him.
Yeah.
So thanks to a lead from a very influential uncredited investor, Mancuso was able to hire Danny Steinman to direct this new beginning for the Friday the 13th franchise.
Such a stupid subtitle. I know.
They're all bad.
MichaelMyers.com. New beginning.
MichaelMyers.com. Oh my gosh. Oh, what would I even... That would have been a good question. Ah, we'll get to it. So, the New York-born director started as an actor in Spain, of all places, and ended up in the Army Reserves after his venture in Europe, which actually helped him avoid Vietnam. His parents wanted him to get married and settle down.
Don't they all?
Yeah. But after one bad breakup, he decided he was over the East Coast and focused on his acting career.
Wow. Yeah. This is a cliche on cliche.
Oh.
On cliche.
And he had rich parents, too. That's why he didn't have to go to Vietnam, because they were able to get him in a part of the reserves that never got called up.
So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. So, of course, he actually didn't get too far in his acting career, mainly because he couldn't keep himself focused on his time in good old sunny Los Angeles, he says. Quote, I was having too good a time in L.A. L.A. was like Disneyland to me. Always something going on, parties, women, gambling, golf, more women, and glorious weather. I should have studied, gotten serious, and committed myself to succeed, but I didn't. Truth was, I really didn't think I was any good as an actor. I didn't really know this, but I felt it.
Wow, that is, like, such a smarmy fucking thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, really, right? He's just like, I'm just gonna fuck off, you know?
And fuck through L.A.
That's right. And again, he dicked around the city till he fell in love again, because I don't think he's a mature dude, and followed his eventual wife back to New York, giving up acting and putting his dreams of fame directly behind him. However, a chance to work behind the camera presented itself thanks to a Puerto Rican production company. Wow, that was a weird mouthful. The credibility from this helped him ascend to commercials, which, oddly, was very, very quickly followed by pornography. Let's explain, Alex.
Okay.
Talk about pornography. Let's go.
I love to talk about pornography.
Yeah, let's do it.
Don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
One day, Mr. Steinman was walking along Times Square and noticed a remarkably long line into a movie theater. He was curious, so he stumbled in and enjoyed the revolutionary 70s adult flick, Deep Throat.
Hey! Finally a chance to talk about Deep Throat!
Somehow you managed. Somehow. Tickets were double the price of normal movies, and he found it odd that this full-length porno flick was able to get so many different types of people into these seemingly seedy theaters. They weren't seemingly seedy.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were pretty...
Literally and figuratively seedy.
Yes, yes.
On this experience, he says, I had seen plenty of hardcore porno reels at parties and card games with a bunch of guys.
Okay. 80s? Let's go.
Okay. But never sat among a mixed group of men and women. This was something new, and some people were going to make a lot of money, unquote. This guy sounds so...
He's a little sleazy.
This is so sleazy. Like, the way he just... I've seen so many hardcore porno films.
Now, me and the fucking bros, dude, we just slap that shit on.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of that this whole episode.
We beat the shit out of the last person who comes. Mm-hmm. Like, some shit.
Oh, Jesus. You have trouble, bro, huh? Don't think about what's going to happen if you don't finish.
That's exactly what it is.
How old is he? He's 26. Oh,
beat the shit.
It's not my birthday! It's not my birthday! That's a horrifying scenario we built up. Oh. Oh, this is wonderful. This is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
He was so inspired by this movie, he convinced his crew to shift the business plan to create a porno seemingly overnight. And even got the backing of Deep Throat's distributor to get it done.
Yeah. He literally, he snaps his fingers, okay, we're doing porn now, bros. No more of this toothpaste shit.
That's insane. I also like that, like, he just needed the right motivation. He's like, should I be an actor? Nah. Yeah. Pornography.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Oh, great.
Here's how he describes what happened next. Quote, after I settled on the title of the movie High Rise, the story came quickly. I've always loved plays and movies that employed a story within a story device. So I threw that in the mix. I placed casting notices in various newspapers and magazines and hired a top-notch female assistant. I had the crew in the Bronx building sets. I decided to shoot in 16 rather than 35 millimeter. Big mistake, especially in the editing room, unquote.
Okay. This girl could put a calendar together. Hell
was
yeah.
He on coke? Like,
oh,
probably.
No, they were all on coke. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. There's a lot of coke in this.
Like, that just sounded like a string of consciousness by someone strung out on cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Every punctuation is a sniff. For sure. Yeah, the 16 millimeter is a bad idea.
Big mistake. Especially in the editing room. He shot the film over the course of 2.5 days and was having trouble with his lead actress, Tammy Trevor. For the fuck of it, here's an excerpt of his time on set. God damn it, Anthony.
Finish the character.
Quote, I became more of a therapist for her than a director. Harry came over to me and said he couldn't get in there. She's got something stuck in her pussy.
Keep reading. I wrote this for you.
Anthony. I asked her if she did have something in there. She poked around and withdrew a sponge, saying, I don't know who put it in there. It's not even mine. Filming continued, unquote. Oh my fucking god. Bro.
This is secretly a podcast about the 1970s porno flick High Rise.
Honestly, we could do a whole mini-series about, like, pornography.
Right.
I would love that. There was a thing I saw on Twitter where, like, a college course for, like, film studies did, yeah, like, a study of pornography. I'm like, I would take that class in a fucking heartbeat. Are you kidding?
Right? I mean, my favorite movie of all time is Boogie Nights.
I was gonna say, Boogie Nights is your favorite movie ever.
That's true. This is, like, prime Boogie Nights shit right here, mm-hmm, except in reality where he's just sleazy and weird.
It's true.
I mean, they were sleazy and weird in the movie, too.
But there's, like, a wholesome edge. Like,
yes,
I kept waiting.
I kept waiting
for it to become, like, nasty and, like, mm-hmm, like, kind of predatory, but I'm like, they're kind of actually, like, a weird porno family.
They're a very fun, dumb porno family.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle was great in that movie.
I loved Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Like, Anthony, I watched it because of you.
Yeah.
And I very thoroughly enjoyed it.
And next time it's playing at the Frida, I am down.
Yes.
I will be there.
Absolutely. Hold on. But yes, this definitely has, like, an air of Boogie Nights to
definitely,
it.
Yeah.
Sponge
in her pussy.
Like, that's the sponge. I agree. It's just, like, she's got something stuck in her pussy. Turns out High Rise was a huge hit. And despite going by the pseudonym Danny Stone, he was able to garner some attention and move on to other genres. Now, he was gonna do spooky shit.
Oh, shit.
He did the sexy shit, now he's gonna do the spooky shit.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this shooting experience wasn't as great as a time as the porno, as the studio took away control of The Unseen,
mm-hmm,
his horror follow-up to High Rise. He hated it so much, he used another pseudonym, this time Peter Folleg.
Okay.
He decided his good name would finally appear in the credits for rape revenge action flick Savage Streets, starring Linda Blair.
Hey, okay.
So, there we go. Thanks to this string of exploitation flicks, Paramount knew they had their fucking guy.
Oh, that's
dude.
Funny. He's like, okay, cool. Not the porno, not the scary stuff. Rape.
Yeah. What the fuck did you just make me read?
The weird, weird. I was looking at the movie behind the scenes, all the stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. But this guy, I found an interview with him, and I'm like, the level of shit. Like, this is Cliff Notes. It's so weird, the kind of stuff he says. It's fucking insane. So, you gotta spotlight insanity sometimes. But the only reason Simon got the job was because they ran out of money on Savage Streets, actually. So, 2.5 weeks into filming, these broke bitches begged investors all around to help them finish the film. One set with connections to Frank Mancuso Jr. actually turned their asses down, but they told Simon and his crew to give them a call when they were done because they still liked what they saw. They just didn't want to put money behind that venture.
Yeah.
So after wrapping up Savage Streets, they gave him a 2-freaking-picture deal with Paramount. That porno paid off.
I guess.
Yeah. You get a 2-picture deal after doing, like, the movies we just talked about with The Sponge and the Pussy. So, yeah. he was enlisted to work on the 5th Friday the 13th film, in which he only watched the first and fourth installments after getting the job. So,
what?
Yeah, he had no association with this brand. He was too busy filming people fucking. You know?
Fair.
Still, there were stipulations for this deal, actually. Quote, I accepted their offer and was instructed to do 2 things to Friday 5. I was to deliver a shock, scare, or kill every 7 or 8 minutes. Most importantly, I was to turn Tommy into Jason. Second attempt, but there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
The team actually originally wanted to make the movie a direct follow-up with Corey Feldman as the lead, but he was hard at work on the Goonies and could only afford them a roughly 5-minute cameo. Thus, Tommy, of course, had to be aged up.
And what a good choice that was.
Yeah, good for his career, right?
Good for his career.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not great for his future life choices, but...
No, definitely. I can't imagine whatever fucking madness we're about to read about this set right now being any better.
That's true.
Listeners, if you hear a quick cut, because I don't know how to get around that, I just hurt my back right now.
Did you hurt your back?
I totally did.
Oh, you're falling apart, Anthony.
Oh, that Nissan Altima driver. Ugh.
Oh, no.
Ugh, terrible.
Are you still waiting on that, by the way?
I still have to do one more round of physical therapy.
So. Oh, my God,
I know,
dude.
I know. It's okay. It seems to happen to get hit by a car. As a person.
As an unprotected person.
Yeah, it was just my flesh.
that's what I mean.
Ugh. Anyways, the film was cast under the name... The very apt name. Repetition. And thus, really on the nose. And thus the actors didn't know they actually signed up for a Friday the 13th movie well into the process. After the contracts had already been inked, and I believe some of them didn't even know until they saw Jason on set. Like, it was that much.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it just, like, the industry stereotype of, like, you don't want to fucking work on the Friday the 13th film.
Oh, definitely read ahead. Oh, we're going to go ahead on. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Because the reputation was oof. So, of course, the new Tommy Jarvis, and I totally did his name wrong. It's
Shepherd?
No, it's not. It's Stepford.
Stepford.
Stepford. The new Tommy Jarvis, John Stepford, had actually volunteered at a mental hospital for months to prepare for the role before learning it was a Jason movie. He was pissed, as, once again, the series did not have a great reputation among industry veterans. He really dedicated himself to a role that he thought, no, Jason, no. So, he may have been the only cast member to take the role that seriously, though, as this set was filled with lots of partying, literally almost every day after wrapping up, and lots of cocaine, according to... pretty much every cast member.
What could possibly go wrong? What looked like a bunch of supposed to be teenagers that were once again played by people, I'm gonna say, in their like late 20s, early 30s?
Definitely. And
doing lots of cocaine, what could go wrong?
Oh yeah, exactly. In a close fucking set with other people their age, and of course, Danny Steinman was indulging. Confirmed.
What?
Yeah, he was pretty much like, I mean... There's a documentary called Crystal Lake Memories that goes deep into this movie.
Yes. Oh, they talk about this movie in particular?
It's part of it, yeah. They go through all of them.
Yeah.
But...
I still haven't seen it, which is funny, considering that I love Friday the 13th as much as I do.
Right? So, yeah. When they talk about Simon, he is a wild boy. He's very, very, very wild.
What, dude. The porno director coke fiend? What do you mean? Yeah,
exactly, right? Who went through how many breakups and changed his life after every single one of them?
Yeah, and slept his way through Hollywood?
Yep, yep, lots of cocaine. And it was the 80s, after all, Alex. It was the 80s. So, the Corey Feldman cameo, though, that was shot over a Sunday in his own family home in Los Angeles. Actually, I think it might have been his neighbor's. But they did bring in a rain machine.
Yeah, because it's L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were so sunny. So, director Danny Steinman has attested that he shot Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning, like a porno in the woods. Direct words from him. Like a porno in the woods.
Yeah.
Apparently a lot of...
It's like a Cabin in the Woods porno. Oh, a porno in the woods.
Oh, great. I'm getting the Evil Dead angles right in.
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
And it's like, instead of like the tree rape scene, it's just like a guy dressed up in a tree costume.
Oh, I don't know why I had the visual of like really poorly slapped on makeup.
That's exactly see the skin. That is exactly what I'm thinking.
Oh, that's he's not even that tall.
You're reading my mind, dude. It's just like a children's play tree costume where it's just like, you know.
Right, yeah. He walks in like not even normal. He's shuffling in.
He's shuffling.
And he's supposed to grind somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's you're picking perfect. Up what I'm putting down, dude.
Yeah, I'm already thinking like painted over tree dick. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Tree cock.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. I put like a little leaf on the side, like she said. Okay, but apparently, back on the whole dick front, a lot of sex scenes didn't make it into the finished product, and there were they shot a lot, including a pretty infamous one. That was a stupid typo. Jesus. One! A pretty infamous one among the cast and crew. On this particular scene, he states, quote, "I shot a softcore love scene, never showing the male genitalia or insertion. The sex was loving and gentle. In any other movie that wasn't horror, it would have been labeled R. But with the blood and the guts, it became totally unacceptable. They cut the whole scene."
The way you were reading it was just...
With the sophistication of a man who would shoot something so lovingly in the middle of a...
The sex was loving and gentle. No, it wasn't. Well, I know for a fact it wasn't.
The blood and the guts thing kind of fucked everything up. So,
notwithstanding, I guarantee you it wasn't. Softcore love scene. Get the fuck out of my Jesus. Face.
Yeah, no.
No, you know, it's funny. I was thinking that it looked like porn. Mm-hmm. The couple in the woods where I'm just like, are they gonna fuck in the woods? And then they just fall on a blanket. I'm like, they're gonna fuck in the woods. They're fucking in the woods.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this looks like porn. This looks like it was shot like it was porn. Like a really bad porn. And yes. I was right.
Like a lot of lingering shots.
Yeah. Or yeah. It's just like the angles. Because, mm-hmm. you know, porn. Yeah. It has a look about it.
It does. Certain pans. But of course, the scene was with actress Deborah Voorhees, actually, who got the job because she had Jason's same last name. That's why she got the job. Oh, and giant tits. Those were the two. Those were the two. She had his last name. She's like very marketable. Also, giant titties. So,
you know, sometimes you just need two really distinctive traits.
I mean, that's the universe just calling her out right there.
Mm, yeah. Perfect.
Exactly, right? But unfortunately, very poorly, she was actually also pressured into doing the scene in a dramatically different way than she actually signed up for. But seeing as she couldn't get in touch with her agent, she actually powered through.
Oh, that's sad.
This is Hollywood in the 80s.
That's sad.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. Again, this guy's kind of sleazy. So, turns out, the death scenes originally shot in the film were brutal, but the MPAA got their hands on this one and cut significant portions of the film. The most Steinman had ever encountered, actually. If he got his way, according to his own testimony, the movie would be far, far more graphic.
So, I watched the Sling version. I don't know how much I missed.
I'm not sure. The one I watched...
Because I didn't pay for this shit.
I paid for it.
Ah.
But it was... They cut away so much. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, actual showing the graphic murders at
okay,
all.
Yeah.
Yeah, was yours did that have or no?
No, that's exactly it. So, it was maybe...
It also, right?
Yeah. Well, because at the very beginning... There was, like, that little, like, AMC, like, thing where it's just, like, parts of this has been altered because of blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, for content and for time.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, are you telling me there's no titties in this movie? What am I doing here?
Wait, were there titties or no?
No.
Oh, there were so many titties in mine. There was titties.
This is bullshit!
There were so many titties. And, like, they would still cut away for the kills, but they would also show a shot of a mutilated body, like, right afterwards. Mm-mm. So they never actually showed
There was, like, I think a couple, but, like, not, like, it wasn't, like, gratuitous titties.
Oh, no. This was a very sleazy movie. There were so many titties. Like, there's, like, a lot.
This is bullshit.
I thought you saw the titty version.
I didn't know I had to pay for it.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. You definitely have to pay for it. There's a lot of titties. So we're getting Paramount Plus.
Bitch.
Yeah, there was. Wow, this is what this movie's known for. There's so many titties. It's like insane. Oh my gosh. Poor Webster. This is what it sounds like. Jesus.
I was doing My Heart Will Go On. I don't know what you were doing.
I was doing Prince. I don't know where it is today. 80s Prince, whatever. But of course, still, now that the movie was ready for everyone, whatever. This bitch was ready. Everyone was fucking miserable. Let's see how it turned out, Alex.
You sound miserable.
I mean, this kind of, just so you know.
You had a day.
Again, as you listeners for the top 5 minutes of the podcast.
Eight minutes.
Oh, great.
8 minutes.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Critics fucking hated this movie. Hell, it doesn't even have a critical consensus on ye old Rotten Tomatoes, which awards Jason's 85 outing with a certifiably rotten 18% on the good old tomato meter.
They did not have a critical consensus. Insane. I'm like, not even a little slight jab? Like, nothing.
No. They were just like, fuck you, fuck this movie. Mm-hmm. Words like disgusting, leering, deranged, and unoriginal were used to describe this movie among 80s critics, but it wasn't enough to deter all of the movie patrons.
Of course, it's the 80s.
I mean, how could they?
Mm-hmm.
Although, not as many of them saw this as compared to The Final Chapter, because they called it The Final Chapter and not A New Beginning. New Beginning. Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, fuckers, opened on March 22nd, 1985, and took number one at the box office, earning more than its budget back with a decent $8,032,883, gross, beating Porky's Revenge.
Oh, wow, the second Porky's film, way to accomplish something, Friday the 13th, yeah.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. Mm-hmm. However, Stephen King's Cat's Eye would eventually dethrone it and keep the money very low compared to its predecessor, earning around $22 million by the end of its run. It was still a hit, but Paramount was worried.
By the way, Cat's Eye, much better movie.
Much better.
Much better movie.
Much, much better. Yes. Yeah. Still, Steinman was perfectly happy with this, saying, quote, Friday 5 made almost $22 million. Some of the actors were given their first opportunity to display their talents in a feature film. I remember seeing the movie when it first came out. The audience reaction was tumultuous. The criticism I and the picture have received has been curious and unwarranted. The film came in on schedule and under budget. The producer and I never had a serious argument or even a spat. Unquote.
I think you just... Yeah, right? That was a good... White lines.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's funny. No, I'm pretty sure that him and the producer actually fought quite a bit.
Well, also, like, who gives a shit if you guys never fought the shitty movie?
Yeah, right.
Like, why would I, an average Joe moviegoer,
mm-hmm.
watch a movie and be like, I hate this movie, but did it come in on schedule and under budget?
I respect that it was made.
Right? Like, I respect that everyone did their jobs.
Oh, more tits. Yeah.
Like, what? Also, I like that he said an opportunity to, quote-unquote, display their talents. Like, I'm like, yeah. Are you talking about someone, like, showing their tits? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
because all their fucking... Because
the acting in this movie is lackluster at best.
I think it totally works, though.
I mean, it fits. Like, if
it fits the bill,
it
yes.
fits the movie. But mm-hmm. I mean, like, display their talents. That's a very, very thinly veiled reference to just naked people.
It's like display their physical attributes.
Exactly, their talents. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Oy.
The cast and crew weren't exactly fans of the film. Actor Dick Winnad. saying, quote, "It wasn't until I saw part five that I realized what a piece of trash it was. I mean, I knew the series' reputation, but you're always hoping that yours is going to come out better," unquote. That's so sad.
By the way, quick insertion here. Speaking of Dick, our boy, old Dickie Warlock McGee, was the stunt coordinator on this film.
Dick Warlock!
That's right, Dick Warlock! Yes! Mr. Michael Myers himself in Good Old Friday, too. You like the level of... That was good, all right?
Dick Warlock.
Dick Warlock.
Dickie Warlock. My old, beloved.
Old Richard War Dick.
Dickie Warlock. Oh, man. Go listen to our Halloween 2 episode for That's more right. about that.
And Halloween 3. He was in Halloween 3 also.
Was he the stunt coordinator for that?
I think he was. He was one of the fucking animatronic motherfuckers also. Something like that.
Listen. Love the man.
Yeah, good guy.
Props to the guy. Good guy.
Good guy. You're a good fella.
Now, on a sadder note...
definitely. Way sadder now.
The aforementioned Deborah Voorhees would later on in life get fired from a teaching position for appearing nude in the movie.
See, that's actually a mis... that's wrong. She got fired from two.
Two?
Two.
That's so sad. Like, the fucking... like, stick up their ass PTA found out about it. And
yeah.
Like, she got her fired. That's sad.
Yep. Mm-mm-mm.
That is so fucking sad.
They should know better by 2012. That was Obama term two, all right? We were on our way.
Yeah. That's, oh man.
Yep. Oh, it gets sad. I forget that I made you read, like, the saddest parts, but there's more.
Okay. Steinman would get right on back to work on his second picture with Paramount. A sequel to The Last House on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of the ways into the production, though, a legal dispute eventually got the movie canceled.
I forget they actually had a title for it out there somewhere, but I would like to think that they called it The Second to Last House on the Left.
That's so fucking stupid. Are you proud of yourself, Fuentes?
It's the second installment, Alice.
They have... Fuck you, dude. Steinman fell in love once again, so was able to take the hit a little bit. But eventually, he said this mishap resulted in a lot of unlucky scenarios, missed opportunities, and a major doubt. A major bout of directionlessness and depression.
Mm.
Bummer. Bummer. His next project, a horror musical called Frankenstar, was canceled after a producer was arrested. Okay. Prostitution. Done.
Mm-hmm.
His next movie turned out to be a scam, as a producer he was working with stole a bunch of money and went into hiding. Then he got a divorce, followed by everything he owned getting destroyed in the Northridge earthquake in
92 or 94.
I was going to say 90. Okay, I was going to say 91. So somewhere in the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah, things didn't go very well for him after the movie. No.
Damn, dude.
No. And then also one of the facts on here is next movie's going to be a scam. I can't remember what it was. It was just I'm cliff noting he in the when I. Saw him talk, it got really bad. It got really bad for him. Like, really bad.
That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah. So, well, I'll finish with that one because things actually got worse for Steinman for at least a little bit. But the legacy of Friday the 13th Part 5 would actually become more positive as the years went by, going from absolutely bottom barrel to a very healthy, quote unquote, mixed.
Yeah.
Letterboxd. Please explain this shit.
Please.
Please. Now, Ian West digs this one, awarding it 4 stars, saying, quote, "Kills and slees galore. I love when Jason plows through the door like the Kool-Aid man, and that this has both rednecks and greasers in it. LMAO. He does come like the Kool-Aid man down
there. Yeah.
And Jason was in quotes because it's not fucking Jason.
It's not.
No.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, not Jason. So, Justin Peterson with a simple 1.5 stars says, "A new beginning, my ass."
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, hot take.
Peterson.
Buddy. Hot take, buddy. Tony the Terror gives it 4.5 stars, saying, "Look, if for no other reason, this deserves such a high rating because of Violet's kick-ass dance moves. Love the moves, love the song she's moving to. Love her hair. Violet forever, y'all, all caps, exclamation points.
I agree with this one.
Yeah, yes. Good. I agree. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, like, sections of personality in this movie, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they tried.
They did. This movie did try. Tried to do something. So, Joe Lynch lands more in the middle with 2.5 stars, saying, possibly the most poorly directed and blocked Friday film of the series, but damn it, it's so sleazecore, it's almost anti-genius.
Fair.
Almost. Yeah. I would say almost. And
heavy emphasis on the almost.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, finally, Lebowski-do with a high 4 stars, saying, damn them enchiladas!
Oh, it's the damn enchiladas!
Oh, great. Now, unfortunately, this is where it gets a little dark again, as the Danny Steinman, you just couldn't get a film made. At one point, he hit a parked car on his bike and was driven to near poverty since he didn't have health insurance at the time.
Bro.
Yeah, and this happened in good old West Los Angeles. So, yeah, parked car. Fucked up his entire life.
Oof, oof.
Mm-hmm. A big break actually finally came when he was set to shoot a documentary in the Philippines, only for his condition to dramatically worsen overnight and leave him bedridden in a Manila hospital. And he was bedridden for about 2.5 months, by the way. So, and he got his condition dramatically, did a 180 on the second day of shooting. So, yeah. And, of course, as soon as he recovered, the movie was canceled. Oof. Yeah.
Bro! Uh-huh. What the hell?
Oh, this gets worse, because after a suicide attempt and possible addiction to pain pills, he was saved by his uncle and lived an easy and secure life in Delaware.
Oh, good. Delaware.
Yeah, yeah. He was, because so the story goes like he literally was like so isolated and whatever. Uh-huh. He was an addict, unfortunately, because he got to take the pills.
Right.
Yeah. But he was just doing like this big bitch fest to his uncle, and his uncle's like, leave everything. Come right now, I'm paying for your ticket. And that was it. And he's just like, it's like, you got nothing. Like, come.
That's good. At least he got someone in his corner.
Yeah, he did. Actually, so he actually lived many years after this. Like, just a solitary, like, life in Delaware on his own. He didn't have to do shit.
Every time I hear the word Delaware, it just makes me think of that line from Wayne's World, where he's just like, welcome to Delaware. Home of Delaware.
Yes.
It just, every time, it just cracks me up.
Oh, the delivery was good. So, you know, also, his uncle unfortunately did die, but he left in the house and, like, all the other stuff, so, like, he actually still managed to not have as much pressure and just kind of coast. Just kind of coasted along. That's just what he did. And, of course, sometime in the 2000s, though, Friday the 13th Part 5 started becoming appreciated, question mark, not by us, but
certainly not by us.
No, but the fan base is pretty split on this one. So something about the movie started to resonate with Jason fans, and Danny Steinman was starting to be asked for many interviews and commentary, and actually so much more. Even some of his older catalog actually got a lot more recognition. So he was getting calls left and right, and fandom found Mr. Steinman right when he needed him. Despite this, he lived until 2012, passing at the age of 70. Actually, and then another sad caveat, though, he was not in a good place when he went, unfortunately. I think he was just really depressed. He's a very roller coastery dude, from what I've read.
It sounds like it. It right? Sounds like someone who, like, was kind of, like, hit their peak mm-hmm. in the 80s, also did a lot of cocaine. Cocaine abuse can cause some manic depression.
That's true.
So,
and at the very least, from evidence of the movie, very sleazeball behavior.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say he deserved any of this for being a total sleazeball.
No.
He was definitely a sleazeball.
He definitely is. But, I mean, hey, you know what? I think I appreciate that in his last years, he actually had a chance to be like, okay, cool. I'm the Friday the 13th guy. Fucking love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of course, going back to Mr. Voorhees, the producers of Friday the 13th.
I'm so glad I didn't have to read that, because I would have been like, the products of Friday the 13th.
Sold real good.
So.
The producers of this franchise, though, they thought this one was going to make a lot of money, and it really didn't compare to their expectations. But they decided to trudge on, and this time they were going to get fucking meta about a decade or so before Wes Craven.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about the oddly ahead of its time Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, on some other Friday the 13th. I don't know when that is. But for now, we gotta talk about the one with all the titties.
Titties. Yeah. Have you seen 6?
Yes, I've seen all of them.
Okay. So basically, this movie onwards, I haven't seen any of them.
Okay. Interestingly enough, I would say this is definitely the most sleazy of all of them. But they're all very different after this. However, 6 is Wes Craven without like the wit. So imagine like Scream or even Scary Movie-ish style, like meta.
With no...
But very juvenile, which is fun.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's actually my favorite Friday film.
Interesting.
But we'll find that out on the next Friday the 13th, because I don't know when that is.
I don't even know.
Yeah, hold on, I gotta look that up now.
Friday the 13th, 2023. January 13th.
Woohoo! We're gonna kick that month off. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that one then, because
this is the only... Oh shit, there's a Friday the 13th in October next year.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so this one, this week, mm-hmm. is the only Friday the 13th we have for all of 2022. In 2023, we have a Friday the 13th in January and October.
Two of our biggest months?
Fuck yeah!
Season 5, baby! But speaking of...
That's season 5 and season 6.
Oh, shit. Wow. Well...
Because it's October, so that would make it season 6.
In terms of how we feel about this part 5, Miss Webster, what do you think of this movie?
It was sleazy, it was cheesy, it was fine.
Kind of run in the mill in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It was like kind of, it was whatever. Like, I wanted to like it. Maybe mm-hmm. I might have been like a little too tired when I watched it, maybe. I don't know. I think that I wanted to like it more. I didn't like what they did with, like, plot-wise. What they did was just like, oh yeah, Tommy Jarvis, and now he's like 30 years old.
I know, he's supposed to be like 5 years later.
I think he's supposed to be a teenager.
I think so too.
Like, they keep kind of like, well, son, what are you doing here? And it's just like, I'm like, I'm sorry, is he supposed to be a child?
Yeah, he's a CPA, actually. He's here to run this bitch.
Like, I know, he... Like, that 17-year-old has abs, sir. So, that distracted me a lot. Like, it immediately just, like, yoinked me out of the film. And I was like, there's no redeeming this.
Oh.
Like, to the point when... Sorry, my ear's been acting weird. So, mm-hmm. There was a point where... when he's having, like, those flashbacks.
Yeah.
Where we get the cameo, and it shows his face. I'm like, is he an adult now? Is that what I'm seeing here? Like, he's an adult. So yeah. We're getting Tommy Jarvis as an adult. And then he's just like, all right, kid, we're here. I'm like, kid? That's a child?
I think he's supposed to be a teenager or some late
He's supposed
teens.
To be a late teenager.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be set in 89. That's technically it's set in 89. It came out in 85, so it was really unsupposed. And then, yeah, from the part 4, so 5 years,
yeah,
6 year difference.
And then seeing a fat child walk around covered in chocolate.
Oh my god.
And just basically just be like herd-a-der.
Yeah, being kind of a doofus.
Being a doofus and, like, his whole, like, stereotype is being like, I'm a fat kid who likes chocolate. Aren't I hilarious?
No.
I'm going to annoy the girls because girls are pretty and I'm an idiot.
Oh,
and then gets brutally axe murdered for no reason. Just being annoying.
Like, no fucking reason, right?
Like, literally, I'm more annoying to you on a regular basis.
Oh my gosh, I'm annoying to myself. Even doing the shit, I was like, oh my god. That scene in particular, I was like, why is this happening?
What's happening?
Why is this happening?
What's going on? Like, there's no rhyme, reason. I mean, other than it just, like, kicks off a string of murders. Like, it's just
stupid. But it's not the guy.
It's not.
It's a different guy.
It's a different guy.
That guy gets arrested. The whole tension's gone. It's like, oh, cool. Now we're good now.
And then people start dying.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird.
And then it just cuts to random people, and then it's just like, well, I know you're immediately going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, I don't know who you are. Like, you're a nameless person.
You're literally getting, like, minutes of setup. Just a little, tiny amount of minutes.
Yeah. Or, like the guy who comes, like, racing down the street does a donut, and it's just like, hey, you want to hang out with me? I'm just like, oh, this is so weird.
You're dead, bro.
You're so dead.
Mm-hmm, you're all dead. Oh, I can't believe you missed all the titties.
Yeah.
There's like a lot, Alex. You have no idea.
I, clearly.
Yeah. Like, it's just for no reason either. They're like looking at the mirror like, titty 10. And like a lot of that.
Wait, that like that waitress?
Yeah.
Titty?
Oh, yeah. She's got a very iconic titty shot. They were great.
There were no titties! Oh my god!
Well, you really missed out, I'm telling you.
I'm so mad!
Yeah.
I love titties!
There's a lot. And actually, in that scene, too, that was her pitch to the director. She was like, can I do my tit scene like this? And the director's like, that sounds really cool. Yeah.
She pitched her own tits reveal?
Yes, she did.
That's amazing.
And she won over the producers. Like, oh, okay. Because, yeah, she does the tits reveal, and
She's just like...
like a little line. And it was great.
That is...
disheartening, isn't it?
It's really disheartening. I know. You saw the tits. You can't. Oh, you don't know my pain.
No, I don't. But I know what you're missing out on.
Wow. Like, I think I might have seen like a glimpse or two, but
no.
I didn't.
Know. They're on screen for a long time.
Oh man.
Yeah, they linger.
Wow.
That's why the leering was part of the critical consensus. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, lots.
I got the Sunday school version.
You did totally got the Sunday school version. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. And there's an even more unrated version out there somewhere. Yeah. So, you know, that's just what we gotta deal with.
Doing this number, I just feel like I should have been like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Oh, dummy.
Show me the titties. Okay, we live on Beyonce's internet. I can just look them up.
That's
fine.
True.
It's
totally fine. They're not hard to access at all. I was almost ready to put it in my question the titty tier list, just based on this particular movie.
It would have been your titty tier list, because
I know. See,
I didn't see any titties.
Something told me I didn't have, shouldn't do it in this one. Even though the numbers really kind of felt like necessary. But...
Disappointing.
Yeah, we're okay.
You're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'll never recover. No, I'm kidding. I'll just have to watch the movie. I'll just have to pay for it. Because I had a feeling it was going to be shit. And I was like, I don't want to pay for this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for this.
I was like ready to do the Paramount free trial to get it. But like, I'm literally not going to watch anything else. And yeah. I don't care that much. I'll just buy it on YouTube because I'm sick.
You could watch the new Paranormal Activity.
Shit.
Sorry.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, but I don't really care that much anyways.
I mean, I don't really care that much about Paranormal Activity anymore, so.
Yeah, I'm more curious than anything mm-hmm. else. Yeah, definitely. No, this...
Because we got some shit talking to do.
Oh, definitely. Oh.
We haven't done it.
Well, this season was the opener.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so season two, or not season two, season five, Jesus. Maybe we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I actually really enjoyed the franchise for the most part. Most parts. There's a couple.
You like the Mexican one?
I love the Mexican one. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
3's really good. This one's not that good. That was a bad movie.
Yeah, let's just... Your thoughts, Anthony. Yeah.
Oh, terrible fucking movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say terrible. Okay, there's... I'm with you. I wanted to like it more than I did. I wanted to like it because there's honestly scenes that are kind of cool.
I love cheesy and sleazy.
Yeah.
Like, as we know, like, I am a fan of both cheesy and sleazy, and this has both. It was just...
Yeah, yes, it's one of those things, again, there's... You're right, there's points where it does cheesy and sleazy almost to, like quality.
Mm.
And then there's points, there's long stretches where it's like, this is just a movie. So they're just people that I'm seeing interact with each other, and then, okay, they're dying. Cool.
Yeah, it was like watching just like this group of fucked up misfits just like be like
mm-hmm.
picked off one by one. And I'm like, you guys all It's kind of sad.
Yeah, and then honestly, I kind of forgot about Tommy Jarvis for most of the movie.
Yeah, he's like a side character in his own goddamn movie.
Oh, well, I looked at the IMDb. I don't know if it's correct, but he only had like maybe 18 to 22 lines or somewhere around there. Like his lines.
That's because he sits there the whole time and looks like a petulant child. He's just I have Botox, so I can't emote right now, but the angry, like the eyebrow furrowed thing. But
oh, very furrowed eyebrow. Like, furrowed as fuck. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah.
And I can't do it. I can't furrow my eyebrows right now. But
no.
You get what I'm saying.
I don't know. There's something about this that doesn't quite hit, but...
It does.
It's okay but it's so minimal compared to the most of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally pockets of, like, good fun. Like, really good fun. And again, a lot of titties. But... And then there's just stretches of, like, just me... Like, you definitely can be on your phone for this movie. You can absolutely be on your phone for this movie. You can absolutely play a video game. You can do whatever you want. Because the sound will tell you when you have to pay attention.
Yeah, the music will just, like, you know, you'll get a nice little chime. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, oh.
Yeah. And
time to look up.
Right? And the only good actor, or not good actors, but the only actors that build a weird delivery from actors, you'll hear that too. And those are fun scenes when they get a little fucking weird. But... there's not as many of them as I thought there would be.
Yeah. I kept getting the like, I want to say camp counselor. She's not a camp counselor, but, like, the director of blah, 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 blah. Like, she's, like, the same age as these kids, quote unquote. So I kept getting her confused as, like, does she live there or work there? Is she fucked up?
Are they just telling her she's a counselor?
Right. Or is she just, like, one of the misfit kids? Like, she's like, I hold the clipboard. That's my job. I hold the clipboard. Like,
I kind of like some of the. It's like somebody gets called a dildo. And all the black characters are great in this movie.
The little kid was like fucking spectacular. It was
really good. His fucking his like uncle or whatever is the guy that he knew. Mm. Like, he was fucking great. He's been in a couple movies also. I forget his name.
The brother was like, he was in the movie for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was a cool 5 minutes.
Those damaged lives. See, that's like a good scene, though. I love what there was, and I know that scene actually was mostly improvised, too.
You know, cool. I'll know I'm in love when, like, I can sing while taking a shit to my significant other on the outside of, like, the door. Like, that's when, like, I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable.
Oh, that's funny. But you know what? Oh, that also brings... Okay, so that was one, I think, effective thing of the movie. I kind of felt their shit very genuine.
Yeah.
It seemed really nice. I'm like, oh, they're gonna die, aren't they?
They're gonna die because they're in love.
They're in love. Fuck.
Oh no! And then immediate,
no,
near immediate. You just hear a little, and then it's just like, babe.
Yeah. I don't know. This movie it does some stuff right, but it's not enough. It's just not enough.
Yeah,
it's really not enough. I like the delivery of a lot of lines. I think it's fine for the. You know what? No, for its length, it feels long.
No, you can, like, this movie is a cool 90 minutes. It feels like a 2-hour movie.
It does. It absolutely does, yeah.
More than once, I was just like, how much longer do I have? And then I looked, and I was like, I have 20 minutes left? Are you fucking kidding?
I caught it at 45. I'm like, why?
45?
It's like, hold on, I gotta double this fucking experience now? Okay.
I'm only halfway through? Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
It's time to be all stupid again.
I had to play Living on a Prayer. You're halfway there.
Oh god, I almost had sex with that song one time.
What?
No, not on purpose. It was on YouTube. We were listening to another song as it was happening, but I forgot autoplay was on.
And it just went on.
Well, because we got started in the middle of the song we were listening to.
No, I get
we were
it.
Into
no,
it.
I understand.
Right?
I understand what happened. I just think that's fucking funny.
Right? Because it was a long fucking song. We're like, it's not time for us to really get going here. Jesus. And it was hot and heavy and it was like, nah, 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 nah.
Did you have to stop and change it?
She actually stopped because I was kind of like, I was like thinking like, I can't, I don't know if I can. Like, maybe read each other's mind. She's like, I can't fuck to Bon Jovi. Like, I can't fuck to Bon Jovi. And I'm like, no, I agree. We don't put on the weekend or something.
That girl's my hero. Oh my god. I can't fuck to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that was...
that's fucking hilarious.
2021, baby! Woo!
That's really
my
funny.
Heart. Again. See, we're not talking about this fucking movie.
I will talk about any embarrassing thing you want me to talk about, other than talk about this fucking movie.
Oh, what a I mean, we started off with an embarrassing shit, so there we go.
I know, that's why. Yeah, yours in particular. You're particularly embarrassing shit.
Great.
You wanted to do it.
I know.
I was like, hey, what took, like, what was the deal? And you're like, no, I need to be in front of a microphone.
I didn't know it would go that long. But as I was talking, I'm like, man, that was miserable.
You poor miserable bastard.
Because, I mean, I feel like we've expressed our feelings on this movie. Like, honestly, all these other questions kind of playing into what we've talked about. So, but let's talk about Friday in general. So these movies, they've always had a hate and hate relationship with critics, but fans seem to really love them no matter what. Except, what do you call them? Jason Goes to Hell. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Not well liked by the fandom. But do you think the level of shame associated with the franchise at its time was warranted, considering what other horror movies were out by 1985? Like, with the context of what we studied, what we talked about, how do you feel about its reputation? Generally, and like, was it really warranted to have this much, like, oh my god, I'm on a fucking Friday movie, like, kind of attitude?
You keep saying Friday movies, and it makes me think of
Ice Cube. Damn! Oh my god, dude. Smokey and Ice Cube with fucking Jason Bourne. Great. Friday, .13!
Yeah.
Oh, I love that concept. That's way better than this.
That would be. Yeah, every time, like, even, like, throughout the script when it was just like, yeah, and Friday 5, and I was like, there's 5 Fridays?
I wish, there's only 3.
To answer your question, because I'm avoiding talking about this movie still, I don't think so. I think Friday the 13th was an unfortunate case of, like, genre saturation.
Yeah.
Because when did the first one come out?
It was 80.
Yeah, this is 85. Mm-hmm. 5 movies in as many years?
Yeah.
Dude.
Every year.
Like, that's insane. Like, of course people are like, it's repetitive. I'm like, fuck yeah, it's repetitive. Like,
churning these bitches out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think that's my take on it, is that I think people were probably just burnt out.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way that, like, Scream 1 came out, Scream 2 came out, like, within a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time Scream 3 came out, like, a year later.
Just, like, two
years later. Oh, yeah. Like, pretty close after, like, not long after. People were just like, I'm over it. Also, yeah. Scream 3 it's not without its issues.
That's true. But also, all these movies had issues, really. Like, they were good in a lot of ways, but also very flawed movies, I would say, for sure.
The first two.
Yeah,
first one's obviously iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think 2 is so good, though. I actually really liked it.
We had a lot of fun talking about 2.
Yeah, 2 was good.
Yeah.
But see, 3, even though we had the hockey mask, kind of boring. I remember feeling that way.
Yeah. Because 3 has Mr. Crispin Glover in it, right?
No, 4 has
4 Crispin is Crispin Glover.
That one's a little funner.
That one, yeah.
That one's actually pretty good.
That one's...
but then, you know what? I feel like, okay, coming back to the question, though...
Yeah, please, and please, your thoughts.
This, I think, is exemplary of why it had a bad reputation.
Mm.
Like, and even among slashers, also. Like, I mean, it's not... Okay, yeah, it's a bad movie. It's very sleazy, and I think it... despite it having pockets of fun, as I talked before, it does set... It does play into the tropes too much in a lot of ways, and I think that a lot of movies do that, but we just covered Sleepaway Camp. And, like, this has nothing on Sleepaway Camp.
No.
Like, not even close, right?
In terms of, like, what?
Oh, in terms of, like, actual entertainment value? I didn't want to look at my phone once during Sleepaway Camp. This movie, I'm kind of like, okay, good talk.
Right, yeah, I'd say Sleepaway Camp is above it. Yeah, if I had to choose between showing someone Friday the 13th Part 5 or Sleepaway Camp, I'm showing them Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, 100%.
Mainly because it's fun to sit there and, like, be like, look at those short shorts! Look at those thighs, dude!
But, I mean, it's also another thing where I feel like they both try to do some of the same things in just their structure.
Yeah.
And this one fails in comparison. And I think compared to a lot of slashers that have a lot of notoriety, it doesn't really stack up, unfortunately. So
they also, like, took their little island of misfit toys and, like, tried to make it a summer camp.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't hit the same way that, like, all the previous ones had, because this is the first one where it's just like, we're a rehabilitation center in the forest.
Yeah.
We're not a summer camp, because they were trying to make it different.
A little, I know, right? But it's still the same formula.
The same formula. It's a group of children in a weird location, excuse me. And it just doesn't, yeah. It's the same story, different font.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, again, that goes back to like why the level of shame was there. I'm like, this didn't do the franchise any favors.
Uh-uh.
I don't think it did the franchise any favors.
I don't think... I think they were a little bit too harsh on how it hurt it, but I don't think it helped it either. I think this is like a very, as neutral as they come, neutral entry.
Yes, definitely.
It's a neutral entry for me.
Just a lot more tits and like less good kills.
Yeah, that's the kills were very lack... Like, they're kind of eh.
Well, they cut MPAA. They fucked it up. Again, they kept the titties, so, but they were just like,
that's,
no,
okay.
All the blood.
So that's where I was confused, because I was like, I'm sure, because I thought for sure I was seeing the censored version because of the kills, not because of the lack of titties. If I had known it was a titties thing, I would have bought it.
I know you would have. But okay, so the scene where, did you see when he ties the rope around the guy's neck on the tree,
uh-huh.
when they start making love, how much of the neck did you see, like, get the pressure?
Not a ton.
Because they kind of go a little deep, but they still don't show, like, the full...
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Curious.
So, because they cut away.
Curious.
Yeah. So I think everybody gets, like, a second or two more of gore than the TV edited version. But I'll have to confirm.
Edited for television!
Yeah. And then again, that being said, the next Friday installment, obviously, like, they take these criticisms like, no, we're trying to do something.
Mm.
Spoiler alert, it's kind of a failure, unfortunately, in the eyes of the producers. So...
Well, fuck the producers, man.
See what happens when you try? Just don't try, people.
Just don't try. Just don't try. Just give up on everything. Who cares?
Yeah.
Don't listen to me.
What is this? No, that sounded real bad. We're
no,
doing great.
I'm kidding. No, I'm fine. I'm living my best life.
I know. We're doing pretty good now.
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, yeah.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Not bad. So, just in general, I actually want to know your opinion on this. How does this movie compare to everything else you've seen in this franchise thus far? Like, rank it in there. Because we rank it every time
we do. One... Two,
having a tough time, huh?
Four, three, five.
Oh, shit. Okay. I would say two.
You like two more than one?
I do.
Interesting.
Two, one and four are like kind of tied for me a little bit. One and four, and definitely three and five.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah, fuck. No, I remember more of three. I feel like I have a good solid understanding.
I do feel like I need to do a rewatch because I do feel like it's been a while.
It definitely has, but I remember liking three in ways that I didn't like this one. So, there you go. All right, so yeah, I would say 2, 1, 4, 3, 5. That's me. So,
okay.
Similar. Just flip the top
just,
two.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
One's my favorite. One is one of my all-time favorite horror films.
It's so...
I love one.
Something about, like, just its griminess that's perfect.
There's just something... I love one, and it's just... Oh, it's so good. And two, I believe that's the one where someone gets beaten to death in a sleeping bag against a tree.
Yeah. Well, is that two or three? I can't remember.
Whichever one that is, it's also just like a... Mwah, just like a chef's kiss. Just like a delight of a kill. I mean, one, for fuck's sake, you have Kevin Bacon getting stabbed through the neck.
That's true. That's
with an arrow. Because he's trying to get his dick wet. Like, that's like, it's a great, oh. Yeah, if you want, like, the terrors of premarital sex, that's the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely number one.
That's the
definitely
movie, guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love Friday the 13th. Oh.
I really want to see how you feel about part six.
I feel like how far we've fallen from one to five. Like, it's just so... One is just so... I don't know.
It's iconography in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of why I also have it similar to 4 for me. Because I feel like 4 did the hockey mask justice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 3 does have a special place in my heart because we get the hockey
because
mask.
Because we get it, yeah. But I think 4 does it, like...
Better?
Yeah. Definitely. And then there's this one. So, with the weird twist, doesn't make sense, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't really care about the killer film. Do you remember a lot of the killer? There's so many.
No, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. So
that's so sad. Yeah. We are a horror podcast, and we're just like, eh, who gives a fuck?
Maybe the belt and the girl that got stabbed in the eyes.
The couple making love.
In the softcore porn. Great titties.
God damn. See, that's stop
it! I'm not even You're ranking teasing it for me. The kills. I'm ranking it for the tits.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're just teasing me.
Jesus. So, what would you actually rate Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, out of 5 gratuitous titty shots?
I'm going to give it a 2.
2. I'm also giving, like, solid 2.
It's a
solid
2.
Solid 2. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I know.
I'm giving it a 2. We need to watch some, like, because we've been ranking pretty low lately.
Yeah. No, I like Sleepaway Camp.
You give it a 3.5.
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, above normal.
For you.
They can't all be 4 stars. It's a big old genre. So that's it all of March. March is a 4-star month.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. We can't read all the time.
I know. Sometimes we get this.
Sometimes we have this.
We waited months for this.
Oh, man. You picked the theme!
Oh, wonderful.
You picked the theme. Yeah, 2.
I'm going solid 2. Again, that's just to say there's nothing redeeming about it, but the cons
if there was nothing redeeming, it would be a 1.
Exactly.
Or a 0. Exactly. We've never done 0. I don't think I've done a 0. I think we might have done a 0.5.
Yeah, I think we've gotten that low. I can't remember where.
It was pretty bad, whatever it was. Yeah, I'm sure. Let us know. Is that it? Anything else you'd like to say?
Nah, let's go on. Camp Horror Month continues. Yay!
He's about to shit himself in my apartment again.
No, I'm good. The weed helped!
Oh, good. No, that's it for this week. That was Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning from 1985. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Next week, we got, we have a movie that I have never seen before, and I'm writing it, so it will be fun.
Oh, right. Good old so, musical time, right?
Is it a musical? Yeah. I've never seen this movie.
Oh, yeah, me neither. It's a total, like, musical.
So, okay, this will be a new one for me, and it's new for Anthony.
Yes.
So it could only go well.
All right. Hell yeah.
So, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard and would like to leave us a review, you can subscribe, first of all, wherever you're listening. That would mean the absolute world to us. And then if you want to go a little above and beyond, you can write us a review on iTunes and leave us a rating on iTunes and or Spotify now. And then if you think we deserve a couple bucks for what we do here at the pod, we do have a Patreon. We are at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
That's me.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. I had an update. I was like, what's my new thing? What am I talking about on on Twitter right now? There's nothing new. The thirst levels are always high, but there's nothing new. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And this is my call to make for 30-year-olds to stop playing 17-year-olds.
Oh, my gosh. Verified, yes, I agree.
Titties!
Yay, titties!
Bye! Peace.